Welcome to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo, keeping you connected to your faith and your world. Teresa tackles the issues of faith and culture, the pro-life message, and media awareness. And now, here's Teresa Tomeo.
Happy Friday. It's Friday, March 26th, and moving into Palm Sunday weekend and then Holy Week next week. And we have so much to talk about this morning. My goodness, there's a lot going on. Let me give you the rundown first, and then we'll have some weather forecasts for you and just a few other thoughts as we move into last weekend of Lent, right? Pretty much. Well, I guess next weekend is too, but you know what I'm saying in terms of getting into Holy Week. All right. So we are going to, in two cents, try to describe what happened yesterday in the so-called press conference, which was nothing more than political theater. It was really painful to watch on a number of levels. But what was so frustrating for me, as you know, if you listen to the show regularly, someone who writes and speaks on media issues and wrote my very first book, Noise, which was released back in 2007 with a heavy emphasis on media bias. It's off the charts, and the White House press corps, in addition to pretty much the rest of the media with a very few exceptions, they're gone. It was political theater. It was so structured. It was so orchestrated. So many problems with this so-called press conference. The biggest problem being the lack of reality that was expressed to the American people about several situations that we're facing in this country and in the world. And what I'm going to do this morning is I'm going to draw from the teachings of the one holy and apostolic Catholic faith. I'm going to look at what the Catechism of the Catholic Church says about the importance of media operating in the capacity in which they're supposed to operate, dealing with truth and facts, and what the church says about how the public and the world are impacted when the media are not doing their job. The church has so much to say on so many things. The church has a fullness of truth, and we know that the church was founded by Jesus Christ himself on St. Peter. And so we should not be surprised that the church gives us a particular view on everything that impacts the human person, the dignity of the human person. And knowing the influence that the media have, especially the explosion of the mass media in the past 60, 70 years, the church is on it. There are a number of documents. There are the World Communications Day statements that come out each year from the popes. And then we have, of course, the Catechism of the Catholic Church, a number of paragraphs in the Catechism. We have Inter Mirifica from Vatican II, and on and on and on. It's really important that we understand this is not just a roll your eyes, oh, another politician lying or stretching the truth. Now, look, they all do that, okay? And we know that the media were certainly pouncing every single moment of every single day on President Trump, regardless of what he said. And he had his own, you know, let's say his big fibs and exaggerations, and he was prone to exaggerating. It was his, you know, larger-than-life personality. He was far from perfect, even though he was our most pro-life president. He's a politician. Now he is. He wasn't when he started. But so, okay, the media need to call them out. They need to fact-check, regardless of whether you're a Republican or a Democrat. But to allow the president to make statements such as he did yesterday, that 50% of Republicans support him on the border issues, what is he talking about? And that he's all about bipartisanship? When he signed more executive orders, eliminating any say from any other side of a particular argument, more executive orders than the last two presidents combined in his first few months of office. And lie after lie, and the media, no follow-up questions. And these, some of the same media have been very critical of him, I have to say. We've been talking about this in all honesty. Have been critical of him because he's not still allowing access for the media at the border. So they called him out on it. And they're saying, wait a minute, this is not true what he's saying. But they didn't do that yesterday in the press conference. They allowed him to just spew fiction with no follow-up questions. It was, and the questions weren't even questions. They were advocacy statements. So we're going to take a look at that. We're going to, most importantly, take a look at why this is important, not just to roll your eyes and say, oh, there they go again. They're just awful. They're ridiculous. Okay, we know that. No kidding. But we have to understand the impact the media have. And to sit there and say that nobody believes them anymore is simply wrong. That's not factual. Because people are still very influenced by the media. I made this statement on Facebook the other day. When some woman said, oh, pst, nobody believes the media anymore. I said, really? I would love for you to be a fly on the wall in some of the conversations I'm having with fellow Catholics who are afraid to leave the house still because they're buying into the fear, even though there are studies showing that the media are primarily fear-mongering when it comes to COVID-19. And they're even doing much more so than what the European press, which are pretty darn sensational, are doing in terms of COVID. So to sit there and say that the media still don't influence people because they're so leftist and everybody knows they're so sensational and biased, no, everybody does not know that, especially people who are, I would say, over 70, who grew up with a different media. They still believe a vast majority of what the media say. And I know that from the conversations I've had with many followers and also many people in my own circle of family and friends, which buy into all the lies. So I'm a little bit upset about what happened. As I said to Andrew this morning, there was a point where I had to turn it off a couple of times and walk away, and I started pacing, listening to some of the ridiculous questions that the media had. They weren't even questions, and it was so structured. They didn't take any questions, by the way, from Steve Doocy from Fox News. I wonder why. There was one reporter from NBC, one out of the 25 that were handpicked to be there or allowed to show up, that asked a question about media access to the border. And he, again, insisted he wasn't going to open up until he had everything squared away. Oh, that's really transparent. But one out of 25 is hardly anything to be proud of. So, all right. So that's 2 cents. At the bottom of the hour, we're going to talk about the beautiful vocation of the priesthood. Father Craig Guerra is going to be joining us from the Archdiocese of Detroit. And he is a co-host of a new Men of the Heart podcast, and it just launched a new website as well, DetroitPriestlyVocations.com. We'll tell you all about that. Father says he is on a mission, amen, to bring the joy of becoming a priest to schools, churches, and now, hopefully, the Catholic Connection listening audience. And that would be you. My friend Doug Keck joins us at 9:15. He's a president and chief operating officer. A big week, obviously, coming up, Holy Week. We're going to talk about all the great programming that you can see and all the different masses you can follow from around the country and the world as we lead into the Triduum. Fact Check Friday, a little bit more detail, kind of a repeat of what we did at 8:15. I want to do this for our national audience and probably have a couple of other stories as well. And then we're going to find out about a beautiful event this weekend put on by Women of Grace, John F. Bakovic's Williams Ministry, which is a powerful ministry. Thea Parsons is joining us. She's the event coordinator for Women of Grace, the website womenofgrace.com. So as I promised you, it is a jam-packed day, a jam-packed morning, and yeah, I got my Italian up. I sure do. Vanessa and I were emailing each other, obviously, all day yesterday, and one of our friends who is a stellar investigative reporter, still works in the secular media, devout Catholic, very frustrated with the state of the media, emails me. He says, T, are you watching this joke of a press conference? He said, I've never seen anything like it. He said, it's ridiculous. Where are the follow-up questions? Where are the questions that aren't, I'm paraphrasing his email, but where are the questions that aren't stacked in Joe Biden's favor? It was ridiculous, absolutely ridiculous, and an insult to the American people and an insult to the press corps, period. All right. 39 degrees right now in southeastern Michigan. Today we are going to have cloudy skies on this Friday. Still very warm. I mean, warm for March standards. Usually it's a little bit cooler. 60 degrees. Partly sunny tomorrow. Very nice. Also 60 degrees for our high. Partly sunny, a little bit cooler on Sunday, Palm Sunday, March 28th, 52 degrees. On Monday, 56 and sunny. And then moving throughout Holy Week, Tuesday, all the way up to 70 again with partly cloudy skies. Back down to 52 on Wednesday. On Holy Thursday, a little bit cooler, 41 degrees. And on Friday, back up to about 50 degrees. Good Friday will be sunny. Holy Saturday, let's see what they're saying. Holy Saturday, warm again, mid-60s, partly sunny and beautiful on Easter Sunday. He is risen. He is risen indeed. Amen. 70 degrees for Easter Sunday, April 4th, partly cloudy skies. So looking pretty good. Not bad. And we'll give you the national forecast a little bit later on. All right, so I have a ton of news to get through. So Andrew's probably saying, please start the news so we're not too late. Let's do that right now. It is Friday, March 26, 2021. The suspected shooter in the attack on a Boulder grocery store is being held without bond. Boulder County District Attorney Michael Doherty says he will push to keep a potential trial for a 21-year-old Ahmaud Alyssa in Boulder County.
We have filed 10 counts of murder in the first degree and one count of attempted murder in first degree for one of the police officers who had responded to the scene. Additional counts will certainly be filed in the next couple weeks.
Alyssa being held without bond after investigators say he walked into a grocery store on Monday and opened fire. A police officer among those killed in that shooting. Trey Thomas tells us severe weather now pushing its way through the state of Georgia this morning.
Most of North Georgia has been in a tornado watch overnight as strong storms moved through. Five people were killed when tornadoes touched down in Alabama yesterday. The National Weather Service says a supercell traveled 150 miles into Calhoun County, where a tornado reportedly touched down last night. Coweta County also suffered damage from high winds this morning.
Meanwhile, there is widespread destruction in Alabama. This man lives in Shelby County near Birmingham, documenting some of the destruction.
Up this mountain, there's debris. Listen to that roar. This is a violent tornado. Debris falling.
The National Weather Service saying an outbreak of tornadoes is hitting or was hitting the state yesterday. Three deaths already have been reported northeast of Birmingham. Memphis, Nashville, Jackson, Mississippi also bracing for possible tornadoes. And there's another tornado watch for parts of southern Illinois and southern Indiana. Republican state attorneys general are turning to the courts in their battle against Joe Biden's immigration policies. Texas AG Attorney General Ken Paxton hinting he is preparing a lawsuit over the end of construction on the border wall.
We're looking at it. There's no doubt that walls work. They worked in El Paso. El Paso used to have one of the highest crime rates in the country, and they built a wall under Bush or a fence, and it worked. The crime rate went down.
He says that states cannot create their own laws on immigration because it's a federal issue. Texas is sending law enforcement to the border, but their scope is limited. Joe Biden used executive orders to halt construction of the former president's signature border wall project. Meanwhile, Biden holding his first press conference, as we mentioned earlier, and we'll be talking more about this in detail in T's 2 Cents. Holding a press conference with reporters at the White House yesterday, now concerns are being raised about a number of statements he made that don't add up, many of them connected to the hot-button issue of the surge at the border. Biden, for example, claiming, among other things, that a vast majority of those who are crossing the border are being sent back. However, the latest stats show the actual number is merely 13%. Biden's administration just this past week allowing 87% of those who illegally crossed into the country to remain, and many of those people who were not sent back were not unaccompanied minors. And on Tuesday, the Axios news outlet reported that the Biden administration kept a Trump-era policy known as Title 42 as a tool to quickly turn back adults and families who illegally cross the southern border. But new Department of Homeland Security information leaked to Axios shows in recent days it's hardly been used at all. And even CNN fact-checker Daniel Dale calling out the Democratic president on his claim that the majority of illegal border crossers are being turned away. Using data from just last month, he blew the whistle on the Biden claim, noting that 59% of migrant family units are being permitted to stay in the country. While nearly 8 in 10 single adults are presumably being denied entry into the country, Biden claims the crisis is under control, but that's not even supported by evidence from the left-wing establishment media. The data shows, again, that an average of just 13% of nearly 13,000 family members attempting to cross the Mexico border will return to Mexico between March 14th and 21. Meanwhile, Joe Biden, who vowed to run a transparent administration, yesterday pointedly declined to commit to allow the media and camera crews full access to the situation at the southern border. And now Republicans are strongly criticizing him for that stance, calling it being an insult to the purpose of a free press. Representative Chip Roy of Texas writing in a letter to the president saying the crisis is out of control. The letter signed by 20 of his House GOP colleagues. He said it's far worse than most realize, largely because your administration, he said, is not only mischaracterizing the crisis, but also prohibiting reporters from witnessing and documenting the crisis up close. The Biden administration is restricting access to reporters and cameras as the southern border is overwhelmed by an influx of migrants. In the first press conference yesterday, he said he's inclined to open up press access at the border after his corrective plans are implemented. Meanwhile, media watchdog groups and many conservatives weighing in after Joe Biden's first news conference at the White House yesterday, concerns are being raised about the extremely structured format. Just 25 reporters permitted to attend the event, Biden taking a limited number of questions from a list of pre-selected reporters before leaving the podium. Now, some of the pictured reporters had a circled number next to their images. He was seen consulting a sheet that appeared to show those pictures and news outlets of journalists who attended the conference. Media critic Joe Concha, during an interview on Fox News, said most importantly, the lack of follow-up questions and fact-checking on the part of the mainstream media is not only a bad reflection on the press corps, he said, but harmful to the public.
This was a disgrace for most of the press corps. And for the president, he said some outrageous things that demanded to be pressed on. And, of course, no one in the room can decide to do it. When the president of the United States says, for instance, when he has the support of a majority of Republican voters, I just checked Gallup, he's at 10% support among GOP voters. So what is he talking about? And obviously the reporters were chosen for him in terms of the optics. He's reading off a predetermined list of reporters to call on, one that didn't include Peter Ducey. So that's a question for the White House handlers of Mr. Biden. Why are you so afraid of a rookie White House press correspondent?
President Biden also referenced what he called cheat sheets detailing key policy points and the identities of those journalists in attendance when he conducted the first formal press conference yesterday. However, the use of note cards is not unprecedented at press conferences. Back in November of 2019, President Trump did have a notebook with handwritten prompts during a press conference on testimony delivered at his first impeachment hearing. The highly structured format, including what some sources are saying was a pre-selected press list, however, is unprecedented. Chicago Mayor Lori Lightfoot is calling for an independent investigation of the West Side Hospital at the center of a COVID-19 vaccine controversy. She told reporters yesterday an independent probe is needed to determine how Loretto Hospital allocated every dose of that vaccine.
I'm not going to stand by while any provider in this time of great need and scarcity of this precious life-saving vaccine is gaming the system. We're not going to tolerate that.
The hospital is accused of arranging for vaccines for ineligible but well-connected people. The Loretto Chief Operating Officer, Dr. Anoush Ahmed, resigning this week amid the scandal. Trey Thomas tells us authorities in Egypt say they need to remove over 700,000 cubic feet of sand to dislodge a giant ship that's still stuck in the Suez Canal.
That much sand would fill 8 Olympic swimming pools. The cargo ship is over 1,300 feet long and nearly 200 feet wide. It ran aground Tuesday in the southern end of the shipping canal, blocking all traffic. The Suez Canal Authority says dredgers are hard at work removing sand and mud from the bow of the ship in order to reach a depth of 40 to 50 feet, which could allow the ship to float. A senior official told CNN that the operation is very complicated and could take days.
Millions of Americans forced out of their offices by the coronavirus, setting up makeshift ones in their homes last year. So many are asking if they can get a tax deduction for a home office. Kathy Pickering, the chief tax officer at H&R Block in New York, says a majority of those forced to work at home are not eligible to claim the home office deduction, even if an employer required them to work remotely due to the spread of the virus.
If you're an employee of a company, you aren't eligible to take the home office deduction or any of those unreimbursed business expenses.
IRS spokesman Eric Smith saying where it gets confusing is when you're an employee working from home in a different state than where your employer's office is located. Each state has their own way of handling home office deductions, so it's best to check with the IRS. And finally, if you like coffee, well, here's some good news. A new study shows you can fight fat with your coffee. Most people already start their day with a cup of Joe, and now a new study shows how it can help burn more fat. The key is, though, they say, to take it 30 minutes before aerobic exercise, any time of the day. Researchers in Spain, however, found the effects of caffeine are higher if the workout is done in the afternoon. 8:18, it's a Friday morning. Good to be with you. When we come back, tease 2 cents. I'll give you an early edition of the Fact Check Friday, talking about this so-called press conference yesterday. What does the church have to say? Because as Al always says, we have to look at everything through the lens of Scripture, the teachings of the church, and the church has plenty to say about the media. We'll be right back.
Old St. Mary's Catholic Church in downtown Detroit and Greektown invites all to Holy Week masses and events starting on March 28th, Palm Sunday. This includes an 8 p.m. Good Friday concert that will also be live-streamed and featured works by Vivaldi and Elgar, St. Mary Chambers Orchestra, and organist Bob Barnhart. See oldstmarysdetroit.com. That's oldstmarysdetroit.com. Old St. Mary's extends Easter greetings to all.
Since 1916, a lot of independent agents have recommended auto owner's insurance, and a lot of parents have taken that recommendation to heart. so have a lot of their children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren. As we celebrate our first 100 years, Auto Owners Insurance thanks all those who have put their trust in us and all the generations who will.
Call Choice Insurance Agency at 734-641-4200.
Light of the East, weekends on Ave Maria Radio.
I'm Father Thomas Loya. This week on Ave Maria, every Christian church has its own ancient and indigenous chant, which is sung by the faithful during liturgical services. This gives cantors a special place in Eastern Christian liturgy.
Saturday evenings at 8:30 and Sunday mornings at 9 on 990 WDEO Ave Maria Radio.
Hi, I'm Dan Weingart. Our family is celebrating 75 years of helping families like yours choose the right power equipment for your lawn. Our experts will help you choose the right product from top brands like Steel. From legendary chainsaws, dependable trimmers, and powerful blowers, a Steel is designed for reliability and built for the long haul. Visit us to see the full Steel line at Weingarts.com.
Weingarts, Weingarts, everything from lawn to snow.
But I couldn't.
Welcome back. Classic Fleetwood Mac. Please don't tell us any more lies. I know we've all had it, and it's just so frustrating when the media buy into it and repeat the lies over and over again and act as lapdogs versus watchdogs, which is exactly what's going on. It's just, it's so not only disgusting, but it's a travesty. And we all suffer when we don't have the truth. So yesterday, of course, was the first press conference since Joe Biden moved into the White House, and it broke a record in terms of how much time elapsed before the first press conference was held. Not in the last 100 years has any president of the United States of America waited that long to hold their first press conference, and I wonder when the next one will be. Probably have to wait another 3 or 4 months, okay? So we want to look at the truth in terms of what happened, and there are so many statements that he made that were inaccurate or completely wrong, and the media did not follow up. As a matter of fact, the way the media posed their questions were just advocacy statements for various causes. He even lied about the filibuster. He called the filibuster racist, but said nothing about the fact that when he was in the Senate and when Trump was in office, how many of the people in his party used the filibuster over and over and over again. But now it's racist because it's not going to work. It could, you know, put a check on what they're trying to do in their extreme leftist agenda, which is exactly why the filibuster exists, so you can still get, you know, other sides out there to challenge. So there were many statements that he made that were just wrong, flat out wrong. And I almost fell off the couch when he said that he has 50% Republican support when the numbers are extremely low, something like 9-10% of GOP support. It was ridiculous. And what was even more ridiculous is the media were just sitting there just like little fans and you know, just in love with the president. And oh, there was even a report that came out, an opinion piece. I don't know if you saw this. Again, we're trying to keep up with everything, but it's virtually impossible. There's only so many hours in a day when it comes to, you know, doing media fact checks and looking at media bias. A columnist in the Washington Post putting a warning out there for reporters who were going to the White House press briefing that they better not be too tough on Biden because it was his first press conference. Gee, did they take that approach with President Trump or any president? They didn't take it with Obama. Love fest all the time. Remember Chris Matthews, the chill going up his leg after Obama got elected and spoke to reporters for the first time? And how come there wasn't any, like, Jim Acosta-type person yesterday at the press conference? Not that that's acceptable either, but where, you know, where was the person to challenge, strongly challenge, what the president was claiming was truth? All right, so I'm a big fan of the work of media critic Joe Concha. He's written books about the media. He gets it. He's been in the secular media. And his concerns I strongly echo, as I said on my Facebook page. Yet last night I posted a report, the report that actually I'm going to share with you this morning. So he did an interview with Fox News and just exactly says the way it is. It's appalling, the media political theater in which they took part yesterday. Take a listen.
You talked a lot about that, about the lack of questions he was taking and the lack of transparency on behalf of this administration.
And after that 1 hour and so press conference that we just watched, we still don't really have any answers in terms of specifics to the pressing problems within this country. And look, I hate to differ a bit from some folks that have been speaking already, but this was a disgrace for most of the press corps. And for the president, he said some outrageous things that demanded to be pressed on. And, of course, no one in the room can decide to do it. When the president of the United States says, for instance, when he has the support of a majority of Republican voters, I just checked Gallup, he's at 10% support among GOP voters. So what is he talking about? And obviously the reporters were chosen for him in terms of the optics. He's reading off a predetermined list of reporters to call on, one that didn't include Peter Ducey. So that's a question for the White House handlers of Mr. Biden. Why are you so afraid of a rookie White House press correspondent? But also, again, about that document that was in front of him that he continually had to refer to. Ari Fleischer wrote, and it was a good question, I wish someone would have asked him about that. Sir, what is that notebook that you appear to be flipping through, and why are you referencing and reading from it? Aren't you confident enough in your own answers to provide an argument? But Yamiche Alcindor, who got the second question, she's from PBS, your tax dollars at work. This was patently embarrassing to the profession. She made the argument that the surge at the border was only happening because Mr. Biden is, quote, a moral and decent man. She didn't bother to even quote back Biden in terms of what he said as a candidate when he literally said to migrants to surge the border, unquote. Mexico's president agrees with that, that the rhetoric of Mr. Biden led to the surge, as do migrants themselves when you interview them. She then pressed Biden to back the filibuster in the name of civil rights. In other words, it wasn't even a question. She was advocating for it while accusing Republicans of suppressing voting rights. This wasn't only bias in broad daylight, it was activism. But kudos to Kristen Welker, who was the only reporter there to actually press Mr. Biden on media access to migrant facilities. He said he'll only allow access when his plan is implemented. So then she followed correctly by saying, oh, when's that going to happen, by the way? And he said he didn't know. So, look, I mean, Peter Ducey, I'm sure he would have asked some good questions, but otherwise, this was an embarrassment to the press corps, guys.
It was an embarrassment to the press corps, and it was shameful. And American democracy, our American Democratic Republic, is suffering for a lack of information and truth. And, you know, what does Scripture tell us? My people perish for a lack of knowledge. All right, so what does the church say? Because as we know, as I mentioned earlier, we have to look at everything through the lens of Scripture and the teachings of the Catholic Church. The church holds the fullness of truth, not just about quote-unquote religion, but about everything on the planet, because it comes from God, the creator of everything, and, of course, who made us in his image and likeness, male and female. And so everything pertaining to the dignity of the human person, it's all in there, like that old Prego spaghetti sauce commercial. So if you'd like to do some more reading and reflecting on this, you can go to the Catechism of the Catholic Church. And I quote this over and over again in my first book, Noise, and other books I've written. And it's just so enlightening. Now, I want you, when I read these different paragraphs, and it starts at paragraph 2493, runs through 2499, to think about the state of the news media today, to think about what happened yesterday, to think about the lies, to think about the censorship, to think about the misinformation campaigns that go on and on and on, what happened during the last election, and think about what the church is saying. We can't put our heads in the sand. We have to understand and demand accuracy from the press. All right, the use of social communications media. This is the segment. 2493. Starting there. Within modern society, the communications media play a major role in information, cultural promotion, and formation. This role is increasing as a result of technological progress, the extent and diversity of the news transmitted, and the influence exercised on public opinion. The information provided by the media is at the service of the common good. And listen to this. Society has a right to information based on truth, freedom, justice, and solidarity. The proper exercise of this right demands that the content of the communication be true and within the limits set by justice and charity complete. Oh, and here's a doozy. Further, go figure, it should be communicated honestly and properly. This means that in the gathering and the publication of news, the moral law and legitimate rights and dignity of man should be upheld. Let's think about that for a minute. The dignity of man. What is happening at the border? The left is always projecting. They're claiming that it was the conservatives who caused all the problems. They blamed everything on Trump and continue to do so. However you feel about Trump, what's happening now at the border is a problem in terms of the dignity of the human person. The way these children under this new administration are being forced to live is anything but dignified. You may have seen the interview that's been circulating now of a mayor in a small town in Arkansas. Only 2,000 people live in his town. And dozens of migrants were just dumped there. And they don't have the resources to help these people because they're such a small town and with restricted resources in their own community. The moral law and legitimate rights and dignity of man should be upheld. And I'm not even taking the time to talk about the transgender agenda, birth control, abortion. We just don't have the time. Paragraph 2495, it is necessary that all members of society meet the demands of justice and charity in this domain. They should help through the means of social communication in the formation and diffusion of sound public opinion. Solidarity is a consequence of genuine and right communication and the free circulation of ideas that further knowledge and respect for others. I mean, look at this. The exact opposite is happening. The church points this out to us and reminds us of this. The means of social communication, paragraph 2496, especially the mass media, can give rise to a certain, and this is what I was saying earlier, passivity among users, making them less than vigilant consumers of what is said or shown. People say to me, oh, nobody believes in media, just ignore it. We can't do that. Also, we have a problem where people consume too much and don't seek out the truth. Users should practice, the church says, moderation and discipline in their approach to the mass media. They will want to form enlightened and correct consciences and more easily to resist unwholesome influences. Paragraph 2497. And this is a doozy. This really gets my Italian up because it's so true. And you read the catechism, and when you read things like this, just like when you read, for example, the Papal Letter to Women by John Paul II, you think you're reading a statement from the National Organization of Women or a women's group because it's so, right, quote-unquote, pro-women in a good way. You know, I always say when I talk about John Paul II and his writings on women that he's clearly someone who supports the liberation, the true liberation of women. And I defy people to look at that document and call the church oppressive when it comes to women. The same thing holds true with what the other teachings of the church and the catechism. It always is going to promote the dignity of the human person and the various professions. By the nature of their profession, journalists have an obligation to serve the truth and not offend against charity in disseminating information. They should strive to respect with equal care the nature of the facts, oh, there's a concept, and the limits of critical judgment concerning individuals. They should not stoop to defamation. Hello. And paragraph 2498. Civil authorities have particular responsibilities in this field because of the common good. It is for the civil authority to defend and safeguard a true and just freedom of information. By promulgating laws and overseeing their application, public authorities should ensure that public morality and social progress are not gravely endangered through misuse of the media. Should we go back to not only last year with the election, and now we're hearing about all the lies that were put forward? The Washington Post came out and had to make a huge correction, accusing Donald Trump of saying something, the quotes were literally made up regarding the situation in Georgia, not to mention what happened to Nicholas Sandman at the March for Life many years ago, and how that was the exact opposite of what the media portrayed. Civil authorities should punish any violation of the rights of individuals to their reputation and privacy. They should give timely and reliable reports concerning the general good or respond to the well-founded concerns of the people. Nothing can justify recourse to disinformation for manipulating public opinion through the media. Interventions by public authorities should avoid injuring the freedom of individuals or groups. And last but not least, paragraph 2499 of the Catechism of the Catholic Church. Moral judgment and must condemn the plague of totalitarian states which systematically falsify the truth, exercise political control of opinion through the media, manipulate defendants and witnesses at public trials, and imagine that they secure their tyranny by strangling and repressing everything they consider thought crimes. Amazing. And this is from, it sounds like it's from an ethics group within the media, or it should be. Instead of holding up their supposed ethics laws, not laws, but ethics guidelines to the Society of Professional Journalists, which they ignore, I would love to print this up, get a helicopter, and fly it all over the place to every news media outlet, or email it to them, or text this to them. Maybe I will. Catechism of the Catholic Church, the use of the social communications media, 2493 to 99. Basic stuff. Journalism 101 and Human Dignity 101. We'll be right back. Tell me lies, tell me sweet little lies. Tell me lies. Oh, no, no, you can't disguise. You can't disguise. Tell me lies. Welcome back. 40 minutes past the hour. Hope you're having a beautiful Friday as we move into Palm Sunday and Holy Week. And such a beautiful time of year, and of course so many things to reflect upon, to ponder, as Our Lady did, especially the priesthood, which we learn a great deal about during Holy Week, especially on Holy Thursday. Father Craig Guerra, who is based at Divine Child, but works mainly on priestly vocations, which is awesome. He's actually the director of priestly vocations for the AOD, and he has a beautiful podcast and also a website. The podcast is entitled Men of the Heart, and he just launched a new website in connection with that ministry, DetroitPriestlyVocations.com. Father, good morning and happy Almost Palm Sunday to you.
Yes, good morning to you. Thank you for having me on.
All right, so this is a very important time of year, of course, for Christians in general, but for Catholic Christians, when we look at the institution of the priesthood, next week, especially Holy Thursday, is just a very powerful day to reflect on the priesthood. So what should we be doing right now, given all the attacks on the priesthood within and outside of the church? How are you helping to foster vocations in such a, post-Christian climate that we're living in?
Yeah, you know, I think it's a little bit difficult for, you know, young men to say yes to the priesthood because they're somewhat fearful. It's, you know, am I going to be supported? What's going to happen in my life? And it's sometimes a scary thought to think, you know, you might be in the public eye. You know, every time I walk out into the grocery store or wherever with my collar on, you know, that invites a conversation, whether the person be glad to see me or not. But it's a great opportunity. I think, as you said, at Holy Thursday, there's the Chrism Mass where we, as priests, renew our priesthood. And it's a great time to think about the gift that God has given us in the priesthood. So some of the things that we could be doing to help grow awareness of vocations is to simply first pray. It's not a consolation prize. Prayer is super powerful. And I'm trying to start a campaign to get everybody in the Archdiocese of Detroit, when they pray the Luminous Mysteries, to pray them for priestly vocations here in the Archdiocese of Detroit.
Wow.
You can actually go to our website and actually sign up formally as well, and then hopefully become a member of this kind of rosary guild that we're going to start. But I'm trying to do an extra rosary every single day, the Luminous Mysteries, to pray for men to say yes to their call to the priesthood. And then secondly is, I think we just need to invite young men to say, hey, you know, I think you have qualities that would make for a great priest. I see goodness in you. I see these qualities. And to make it a special moment, I think sometimes we think we're doing our job when I say, hey, you know, you're an altar server, and hey, you know, have you ever thought about the priesthood? And it's sort of kind of a one-off type thing, but to actually sit down with maybe your son or your grandson or maybe you're a coach and to talk to one of the guys and to say, listen, I really think you might be called to the priesthood, and I'll be there for you and help you out through it, I think is a powerful thing that we can do for the men discerning the priesthood.
Well, I think the men discerning the priesthood and also other vocations, I know that what happened with my husband, Deacon Dom, is we had one of our wonderful closest friends, who's a beautiful evangelical sister, years ago, before he even consider the diaconate. And she was always asking questions about the Catholic Church, trying to understand it better because of our friendship. And one time she was here visiting her and her husband, and she said, well, what can you do in the Catholic Church as a man? I'm just curious. And so he went through a whole list of things. He said, and I could also be a deacon. And she said, okay, well, what does that mean? He explained it. She says, you know what? I think the Lord's calling you to the diaconate. And he was kind of taken aback. And then even before that, Father, there was another deacon who's since passed away, a wonderful, wonderful friend of ours, Deacon Gene DeCreasy. This was our first trip to the Holy Land back in 1995, right after we came back to the church. We were back in the church maybe 2 years. And out of the blue, Deacon Gene came up to Dominic on that pilgrimage and said, have you ever thought about the diaconate? Like, out of the blue. And so, you know, two people from very different, you know, walks of life and very different faith perspectives coming up to him saying, there is something about you, I think you should consider the diaconate. So I think to keep this in mind for vocations, obviously your emphasis is on priestly vocations, but sometimes I think we say, I really can't say anything, when we're being encouraged by the Holy Spirit to speak up, right?
Yeah, definitely. I don't think you're going to steer someone in the wrong direction if it's not their calling. They're just going to disregard you. I had so many people tell me, you know, you would make a great priest, or people would call me Father, or even not in church, they would call me Father in the grocery store when I wasn't even a seminarian yet.
And really?
I confirmation. Yeah, it was weird. Like, I would help someone, and they would say, thank you, Father, and so that was really weird. I'm wearing a black shirt. I don't have a collar on or anything.
Wow.
Like that.
Ooh, that gives me chills. That's one of those Godsidences that I talk about in my new book. Ooh.
Yeah, yeah. It was really funny. I was at my friend's wedding in California, and after Mass, I was sitting there giving my Thanksgiving, and this elderly lady in front of me, you know, wanted to talk, and we talked for like 15 minutes, and then after she kind of smiled and said, you know what you should do with your life? And I thought, here it goes again. Everybody's saying it. She goes, you should join the Navy. And I thought to myself, no, lady, that's the craziest thing I've ever heard.
That's funny.
So just because you tell someone something doesn't necessarily mean they're just going to follow it blindly.
Right.
I think
right.
Part of discernment is being close to the Lord, being you know, close to prayer always, so that you're swimming in this
Amen.
Discernment. So then when someone speaks a word from God, you can hear it because you know the Master's voice.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. You know his voice. We're talking with Father Craig Guerra. He is the Director of Priestly Vocations for the Archdiocese of Detroit, launching a new website and also a podcast, Men of the Heart Podcast. The website is DetroitPriestlyVocations.com. So tell us about the podcast. How often do you record it? When do you post them? You know, how frequently can we access these great podcasts?
Yeah, you can get them on any place that you find podcasts, and on our website and social channels and things like that. We're trying to do it monthly, and I have a co-host, Father David Pelican. It's really interesting to kind of do some interviews with him as well. He's the youngest priest, I think, in the Archdiocese of Detroit right now, and he just was homeschooled his whole life, and
wow.
He's got a different story than mine. So I thought that would be great, that we could kind of talk from different angles and just really talk about our vocation stories, talk about the priesthood, talk about how to discern, and it's almost as if you were sitting at the, you know, dinner table with us, just kind of having a conversation, because that had a huge impact on me, that when I was invited to either have dinner with the priests or seminarians, to see myself in that circle of people, I thought, well, I could do this. And that's what sort of what the podcast is about here. Listen to some priests talk about discernment and priesthood, and see if you can put yourself in their shoes. So that's the concept behind the Men of the Hearts podcast.
So when you talk about your role as Director of Priestly Vocations, what does that mean? Obviously, you're encouraging vocations, but what else do you have in terms of under your responsibility as a director?
Well, really, I mean, it's a full-time focus to see, you know, what can we be doing to promote vocations. And of course, I'm going to promote all vocations, but mm-hmm. I really want to take a look at priestly vocations, you know. So, you know, I'm trying to get out to parishes. It's been a little bit hard with coronavirus, but hopefully that's going to go away soon. And, you know, talk to not only the young men, but talk to also their families and the parishioners, because we really need to pray for these guys. We need to really help them understand that God hasn't stopped calling men to the priesthood. It's just sometimes really hard for men to hear God's call because we're just bombarded with so much stuff all the time. I know you were just talking about social media and how we can get sucked into it, and,
mm-hmm.
and it can just lead us astray. I mean, unfortunately, last night I went down the YouTube you know, channel hole and was 2 hours like looking at people, other people's reaction to music that I like, which is crazy. I should have just been listening to the music.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's so an important
we're just
point.
Doing anything
yeah.
we can.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, go ahead.
No, I just, you know, anything that we can. So we thought the podcast would be a great idea. We launched our new website, so it has a lot of helps, not only for the young men, but also for parishioners and parishes and the programs that we're going to start putting on again, all of that great stuff, so that, you know, guys can say yes to it.
We're talking with Father Craig Guerra. He is a director of priestly vocations for the Archdiocese of Detroit. Check out the website and the podcast. The podcast is entitled Men of the Heart, and the website, DetroitPriestlyVocations.com. So, Father, what are some of the gifts and the skills that are needed to have a full-time religious vocation, such as the priesthood?
Well, I think, of course, you need to be close to God. If you're not close to God, that's not really going to help anybody. I think we all have, you know, talents in which we can lead, and you can have all these wonderful characteristics, but if there's no holiness there, then there's something missing. So usually our first vocation is when we get baptized, our first vocation is to grow in holiness and to mm-hmm. make it to heaven, and that is growing closer to this person named Jesus Christ and knowing his voice and loving him and wanting to serve him. And then that leads us to our secondary vocation, which is that particular vocation, whether we're called to marriage, whether we're called to the priesthood or religious life, or even the generous single life, you know, that we can give ourselves to God to help bring other people to heaven with us. So making that aware to people that, you know, our vocation is there not only for our own salvation, but for other people's salvation as well.
Yeah. How difficult is it in the climate in which we live, where so much is against the church, and we have many problems in the church, and unfortunately, because the people, as I said earlier, still believe a lot of what the media say, people automatically sometimes will have a very negative image of the church and of the priesthood due to the scandals. How do we overcome that to encourage young men to consider the beauty of the priesthood?
I think us as priests, just being out there in the open and being able to talk to people.
Share your stories, speak, right? Yeah.
Share our stories, have a good example, you know, be bold in what we need to speak sometimes. But I think, you know, sometimes when the church is persecuted, or usually when the church is persecuted, is when its members grow in holiness, right? You know, our church was built on the blood of the martyrs, and I think during persecution is when we become bold, we get stronger, and we can do some amazing things. So I think men are still heeding that call, and I think more than ever now, because we're being persecuted in different ways. So I don't think men are afraid in that regard. I think they're called to go and serve.
So do you enjoy doing the podcast? Do you like it?
I do very much so. You know, we're discovering each other, Father David and myself, about our own stories, learning about each other, but hopefully when we learn about each other, a young man is listening and learning about himself and placing himself in our shoes. So it's
cool.
Great. It's a great time.
Well, God bless you. You know, my spiritual director, every time I go to confession, part of my penance is praying for priestly vocation. So this is near and dear to my heart. And thank you for doing this. DetroitPriestlyVocations.com and for your dedication to the Archdiocese, the Church, and the Priesthood. Director of Priestly Vocations to the Archdiocese of Detroit, Father Craig Guerra. Father, thanks so much. Close us in prayer, if you wouldn't mind, real quickly. I'm going to put you on the spot.
Heavenly Father, we just ask that your blessings be upon us. As we just celebrated the Feast of the Annunciation, may the Blessed Mother, who said yes to God, that young men and will say yes to his call, especially the call to the priesthood. And we ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Have a great weekend, a great Easter, and hope to have you back on real soon. Again, go to DetroitPriestlyVocations.com, DetroitPriestlyVocations.com, the Men of the Heart podcast, featuring Father Craig Guerra, the Director of Priestly Vocations for the Archdiocese of Detroit. Also, check out the great overall website, DetroitCatholic.com, as well as all the great resources with Unleash the Gospel. So much there for us to explore, especially during Holy Week. We'll be right back on a Friday. Stay tuned.
Do you or your church have an art restoration project that needs the skills of a true professional? Look to Ethan Hayes for the premium quality results that you deserve. E.A. Hayes Studio has done excellent work, for example, at Old St. Patrick Church in Ann Arbor and St. Mary's in Pinckney. From statue restorations to high altars to new pieces, you can count on Ethan Hayes for glorious work at affordable rates. To shop and browse previous restoration work, visit eahayesstudio.com. That's eahayesstudio.com.
Who's the head of your home and family? Is it Jesus Christ? Call the men of Sacred Hearts to show you how to place Jesus as the head of your family and show you how to use the Holy Rosary to learn what is on your child's heart that they're not telling you. Watch one mom's testimonial on our webpage, menofthesacredhearts.org, and call us to set up your appointment today, 586-264-8550. This message is brought to you by Office Express. Let's all support each other. OEXUSA.com.
God has blessed us with wonderful faith, great family and friends, and nature. Pinckney Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram invites you to get out and enjoy our beautiful Michigan outdoors with their award-winning lineup of new Jeeps, including the Jeep Compass, Jeep Grand Cherokee, and Jeep Cherokee. Right now, during the Jeep Celebration event, you can lease the new Jeep Compass, Jeep Grand Cherokee, or Jeep Cherokee starting at only $199 per month. The Jeep Celebration event is going on all month long at Pinckney Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram. Don't miss the savings! Visit them online at pinckneychrysler.com for more information today.
As Easter approaches, Catholics around the world are rejoicing in the promise of the resurrection of our Lord. As that glorious day grows closer, perhaps the thought of your cemetery plans have crossed your mind. The staff at your six Archdiocese of Detroit cemeteries can assist you by using EasyText, and it is as simple as sending a text message. When you send the word HOLY to 474747, you will receive a message letting you know we are here to assist you in any way. Let us help you so you can help your family.
Welcome back, Catholic Connection. Rainy and cloudy today. Although it's going to clear up this weekend, it's going to be a very nice Palm Sunday, and we'll see a very, very comfortable conditions. Joining us at about 15 minutes past the hour, and I'm sure he has a lot to share, Doug Keck, President and Chief Operating Officer of EWTN. Every Friday, he does a great job of giving us a sneak preview, an inside look at what's coming up on the network, so you can, you know, set your DVR, mark down your calendar, and just remember that, especially during Holy Week, there's going to be great programming from not only all over the U.S. of A., but all over the world. We'll revisit Fact Check Friday. I'll have a little bit more time, I believe, to talk a little bit more about some of the things that are absolutely shameful, and not just from a media bias perspective, but going back to the Catechism of the Catholic Church and taking a look at why truth matters, right? And that truth does not change, as John Paul II always says. So Fact Check Friday at 28 minutes past the hour, and then wrapping up with Thea Parsons, who's the event coordinator for Women of Grace. And there's a beautiful event for which ladies may register at womenofgrace.com, and it's coming up actually this weekend on March 27th. So that is the rest of the show. Hope you can stay tuned for the entire program. We'll be back. Don't touch that dial, as we say in Radio Land. And, oh, check out registrations available now for the Listening for God Conference. Go to AveMariaRadio.net. A great thing to do, especially to prepare you for after Easter, going to Pentecost, I should say, and beyond. We'll be right back.